It's 1 o'clock.
选。
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, February the 2nd, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely delightful Lisa Settle.
Hello, good Lisa. Good afternoon. Keeping Jules' seat warm here.
Absolutely.
Gads around India.
I was saying earlier, wasn't I, that all my co-presenters seem to clear off to warmer climes as soon as they've done a show.
Shirley
was on last week. She tweeted me, it's 25 degrees here in Dubai and I'm just about to tee off.
Oh, nice.
Jules is still nicking bananas off the stalls in New Delhi.
Last seen at the River Ganges.
Yeah. Was she...
washing her clothes?
Well, yeah.
I don't think so. Fraternising with the locals.
Washing an elephant?
Or a monkey.
Yeah, no, she needs to get... I've got a very interesting tweet, actually, about a monkey.
Go on.
It's not really a monkey. Well, I've got to find it in a minute. It's from Venom Tech.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's my favourite monkey, although Steve has told me off many times for calling it a monkey, because it's clearly a prosimian. Obviously. Anyway, we'll come to that in a minute, but it's my favourite non-monkey, if you see what I mean. It's a loris, actually. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent and the southeast of England, in fact. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. VanillaWeb on the Twitter and the hashtag BBunker. We have had 138,000 tweets already. At least a million, haven't we? At least a million. I lost count at 998,000 for sure. But do keep them coming in. We will try to read them all and we will get round to them. And we've also got a bazillion emails today and some quite big bits of news, have we not, young Lisa?
We have.
And I ought to mention, just in passing, today's show sponsor.
Which is the lovely
folks at Telcare Limited.
Who are they?
Yeah. The telecommunications providers from the Medway City Estate over there in Rochester. The lovely folks keep this radio station on air with our fabulous lease line that we have here. Courtesy of the great folks. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Becky. I think Becky might be listening. And Pardeep and Dan.
What are they doing? Get work. Don't just sit around listening to the radio. You lot, you've got to work and pay for your sponsorship. Blimey. But a big thank you to Telcare for sponsoring the show. We do really appreciate all the support that they give us, and we thank them very much indeed. I tell you what, should we kick off with some news updates from the emails that you've got there, Lisa? Because we've got a couple of big juicy emails
from
to read, have we not?
Yeah, I've just got, there's a tweet here that made me smile. I know it's not an email, but it's a tweet, which...
She started already.
Sorry.
Yeah, as soon as these people come on as my co-presenter, they go, you know, yeah, Paul, no, you tell us what to do and we'll do it. And I go, right, leave. And they go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something completely different.
Well, just thinking of Jules, because I'm missing Jules, obviously. This one made me laugh because I thought Jules would have an absolute ball with this, given her liking
stupidity.
For accents.
Oh, right,
no,
okay.
Accents. She always goes into different accents, doesn't she? Gareth Owen Williams.
Oh, Gareth. Hello.
Yes, exactly.
Hello, Gareth.
So you're really lucky that Jules isn't here, Gareth. But Gareth tweeted in from Triple Fire Star over in Bromley Way, and has tweeted to say that he would happily give away a fire blanket to one of our listeners.
Oh, right, okay.
So you can follow Gareth on the Twitter at @Gareth_TSFire, F-I-R-E. So I suggest you go and give him a retweet and see if you get your hands on that fire blanket.
Yeah, why don't we do that? That's a good idea. Look, follow him on the Twitter, or follow them on the Twitter, Retweet it or even send them a message, and then we'll let Gareth decide who's won the fire blanket.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could be Tonto. He could do with a fire blanket, couldn't he? Yeah. He could send signals in.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Sorry, Gareth.
Okay. Right. Are we ready to read an email now?
We are ready.
Good.
Let's go with it. Okay. Well, I've got one from the Kent Invicta Chamber here. Mm. It's entitled Rising Stars.
Right.
Rising Stars is the new networking support forum for those in professional services. The event is going to be held at the Thistle Hotel Brands Hatch up in Dartford on Thursday, 25th of February, 8:30 to 10:30. And you can go along and hear the guest speaker, Deborah Turner, from You Image Consultancy, doing a short presentation on the importance of first impressions and personal branding. Members, £15 plus VAT, non-members, £20. And you can get in touch with the chamber at www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk. And I know Deborah personally, so I know that that will be a very worthwhile event to attend.
It will be brilliant. Deb spoke at Fruitworks Create the other week as well. Fantastic talk it was too. Hey, listen, I've got a bit of news here as well. For those regular listeners, you will recall a couple of weeks ago, we had a rather sad and poignant email from a young man called Andrew Bottelli. And Andrew is a volunteer with a charity in Dover, which is the Western Heights Preservation Society. And they have a redoubt that they keep open to the public, and they try to keep clear of weeds and all the rest of it. And some tow rag broke into their shed one weekend and nicked all of their tools, if you remember.
Yes, I remember that.
So we put out an appeal a few weeks ago for people to help with tools and kinds of things. And this morning I've got an update from Andrew on how that appeal went. And it said, "Hi, Paul. The Western Heights Preservation Society are delighted to announce that through the generosity of people and businesses both locally and over the country, that we've now had donations exceeding £6,000.
Oh, wow.
And we've got more money to come from the taxman via gift aid.
Excellent.
The funds raised will replace all of our stolen equipment, and it will give us equipment that will be needed for this year's events and enable us to improve our equipment for the monthly work parties that take place in and out the drop redoubt. Funds will also enable us to take forward projects we have planned for the coming year, including opening up additional areas of the redoubt to the public and to improve the interpretation of the site. We've also had offers that will allow us to improve the security." Good idea. And also off-site storage for winter. Because basically that's what happened. They'd stored all the stuff in the kit and then, you know, gone away. Yeah. And it had gone by the time they came back. So somebody's offered to keep all of their equipment in a safe storage place over the winter, which is brilliant.
Excellent. That's a happy ending.
So Andrew says, "Once again, we are overwhelmed by everyone's generosity and we look forward to seeing you at our events over the summer. Thank you so much for helping us." Andrew, it's an absolute pleasure and well done.
Brilliant.
Fantastic news.
Brilliant.
Really good stuff. Yeah. So sometimes out of adversity, good things happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But
there
that doesn't,
people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't stop us finding the tow rags that nicked the stuff in the first place, though. Cool. I've also had a tweet from a new listener called Bereska Films, B-A-R-E-S-K-A.
I saw them on the Twitter.
Yeah, and their Twitter handle is Bereska Creative, B-A-R-E-S-K-A, Creative, all one word. And they say, "Vanilla Web, hello from us at the Bereska Creative Film. We're brand new in Kent. Have a great show. Thank you." So they just asked for a shout out. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. They're new to Kent. I don't know whether that's just they've moved to Kent or it's a new organisation or maybe a bit of both. Mm. But say hello.
Hello there.
That's Bereska Films. Do give them a follow on to Twitter as well, if you will, please.
I've got a tweet from Nigel at Kentish Stores.
Right.
Lovely Nigel and Wanda. They're asking for a quick shout out.
Mm-hmm.
They are suppliers of Kent produce and Kent hampers, lovely hampers, all goodies from Kent, Pluckley tea bags, Whitstable chutney, strawberry jam, honey.
Wow.
They also do the lotions and potions from the guys down the road here at Romney Wash Walls.
Oh, yes, yes, I know. Yes, all the linseed oil and all that kind of stuff as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, hi, Nigel. Hi, Wanda. Hope you're listening.
So big shout out to Kentish Stores.
Yep, you can follow them at Kentish Stores, or they are, I do have their email address, which is, not their email, it's just their website. It's www.kentishstores.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Talking of film, I've got this email as well. Film is to return to Orpington on February the 26th after 3 decades, that's 30 years in old money, isn't it, away. A new Odeon cinema announces an opening date. There's a new seven-screen Odeon cinema. I know I shouldn't have taken Jules's teeth when she went, really. There is, in fact, a new cinema to open in Orpington in exactly 1 month on Friday, February the 26th. Guests will be able to enjoy its state-of-the-art iSense screen, one of only two in the UK, and they will also be partaking of freshly baked Croma pizza in cinema.
Mm.
Ooh.
Very nice.
The cinema is the first in Orpington for 34 years, and they held a poll for what films the residents wanted to see. Oh. And these are the top five films that have been missed since the Odeon in Orpington closed 35 years ago, and they want rerun. Number one was E.T.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Number two was Mamma Mia.
Oh, no. It's making rude signs.
Yeah. Three, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Four was Die Hard. And five was Avatar. So,
Avatar.
Yeah, very cultural over there in Orpington.
I thought they were going to come out with Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so that's on Friday, February the 26th. The new Orpington cinema in open, seven screen cinema. Opens for the first time in 34 years.
Brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant?
That is
good
really
stuff.
Good news.
Mm.
I've got one here from, Paul, and you're going to have to say the surname here, Gerard.
Oh, Giacomo Vosius.
That's the one. Hi,
that's
Gerard.
That's not how it's pronounced.
No,
that's how I pronounce it. Yeah. He'll ring me up later and go, you still can't do it. And he's given me lessons loads of times. I'm sorry, Gerard.
Well, the lovely Gerard.
At least I'll make a go of it.
Known,
yeah.
Has sent in an email just to let us know about a new tweet up.
Mm-hmm.
The venue's at Creek Creative Gallery in Abbey Street, Faversham. The time is Tuesday at 10 till 12. It's a new venue. I think it used to be the old Faversham tweet up, and now it's the new Faversham tweet up. So the first one will be Tuesday, 9th of February. Go along. It's completely free. Get the date in your diary. Everyone's welcome. And and there's a little secret message for you, Paul, underneath saying, let me know when you're next in Whitstable so that you can have coffee.
Oh, lovely. I will indeed, Gerard. He's trying to get me to come along, isn't he? That's what he's doing. I will. No, I haven't seen Gerard for ages, so I will catch up with you soon. I've had a tweet from the absolutely lovely Emma Catterall, and she says, hello, Vanilla Web. Paul, please could you give Michael Park Surveyors a shout-out and let your listeners know how to contact us? I can't speak this morning. What's all that about?
It's the teeth.
Huh?
Are you sure you've got them in?
Yeah, no, I'm all excited. That's what it is, I think. I'm all excited because Jules isn't here again. That's why I'm excited.
Don't.
Yeah. Because she's washing elephants or something, isn't she?
In the Ganges River.
In the Ganges, yeah. I'm going to do that again.
She's been to the Russian embassy, you know.
Has she?
Mm.
Vodka. Vodka.
Yeah, on the vodka.
Did she go with what's
her
face?
One weakness. Her new husband.
No. The meerkat.
Oh.
Orlov.
Orlov.
Yeah. You're as bad as she is.
Sorry,
funny.
Sorry.
Yeah. Emma Catterall, by the way, we were talking about, has tweeted, and she says, Paul, please give Michael Park Surveyors a shout out and let your listeners know how to contact us for special offers. And their Twitter handle is @MPSL, and that's Michael Park Surveyors, I believe, based in Ashford. Do give them a follow and find out some more about the special offers that they have on currently.
Okay,
Lisa,
I have. Another Kent Invicta Chamber announcement, and tonight is the after hours meetings. That one will be held at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford. There's another one tonight held in Ashford at the Conningbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the 9th of February, the Farmhouse, West Malling. Again on the 9th of February, Hythe Imperial Hotel, Hythe. And Wednesday the 10th of February, Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. And Thursday the 11th is at the Best Western Coniston Hotel and Restaurant in Sittingbourne. So, gosh, there's something for everyone there.
Cool.
No reason not to go.
Yeah, I like those. I haven't been to one for a while, to be perfectly honest. But I used to go to them quite regularly, and they're quite good fun. See, I'm not a breakfast person. I can't do breakfast meetings. I'm never up in time. They've always finished. They've always finished by the time I'm up. But those after-hours ones, I quite enjoyed those.
Do you remember the old days at FK's?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I used to like that.
But I mean, those were the days. I've had a tweet from Mistletoe Oak.
Ooh.
And Mistletoe Oak says, Paul, Business Bunker, could you give a shout out, please, for, and this is a Twitter handle, YMS Travel, at YMS Travel. And they have buses, Dover to Folkestone, keeping things moving. And they also do fabulous trips. So do have a look at their website and follow, and you can find their website by following them at YMS Travel, all one word, on the Twitter. And that's from Mistletoe Oak, the Mistletoe Oak.
That's
interesting.
Nice name, yeah. Okay, I have another one here, which is, oh gosh, another one from Kent and Victor Chamber. I didn't organise those very well, did I? This is to do with the awards that are up and coming. The 2016 Kent and Victor Chamber Awards. They're saying that these entering these awards can give you the chance to show your clients, customers and competitors how successful you are. Invaluable promotion opportunities, powerful PR and marketing tools, recognition throughout the county, boost staff morale and further recruitment, and you also get a lovely engraved glass trophy.
Woo.
The winners of the Chamber Awards 2016 will be announced at a gala dinner to be held at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge on Thursday, 17th of March. I know, it doesn't say it on here, but I do know that the deadline for entry is, I think, this Friday.
Right.
So
okay.
If you're thinking
get on with
of
it.
Doing that, yeah, get on with it. Deal with it and get on with it. You can find the link at www.kentinvictorchamber.co.uk.
I just want to say it is really worth putting yourself forward for these awards.
Oh, definitely.
Because if you get any form of recognition out of that, and you don't have to win, but any form of recognition out of that, it really is a massive PR boost, and it really does raise your profile. So do go in for it.
Well, I can remember someone saying, or I'm not sure, someone made finalist and said, oh, I'm not sure, you know, if this has done anything for me. And actually, a year later, was contacted, or nearly a year later, was contacted by a local newspaper and said, we want to do an article on you. We heard. So you never know how long it takes for it to, you know.
The media can be a bit slow to get round to it sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't underestimate it.
Yeah, definitely no, absolutely. Won't. Very powerful. I totally agree with Lisa. Very powerful. We've had a tweet from Chile PR Social. That's their Twitter handle. And they say, it looks like it's going to be a really interesting show today, and we're looking forward to it. Oh, thank you for that.
Thank you.
And a young lady called Emma Hopkins, with a double S at the end, Emma Hopkins, has just said, hello.
That's hard to say with your teeth out, isn't it?
Yeah, luckily I've got gaps.
I've just had a tweet from Chris Pollard. Lisa, tell the old boy to buy new teeth.
Oh, he's getting all carried away with himself, because he's got a new job, yeah. Global head of CKC Media.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Chris.
He's not very well, actually. So
is he not?
No.
What?
He was a bit poorly, I think.
Oh, are you poorly? Sorry, Chris. Get well soon, mate.
They were on the Who Cares Wins show yesterday, and Chris was he was a little off colour.
Ah.
So get well soon, Chris.
Yeah. City Way Osteopaths have also tweeted to say hello. So a big hello to City Way Osteopaths. Do you know what we're going to do now, Lisa?
Tunage?
We're going to play a bit of tunage.
Yay.
Have a listen to this.
walk on line. You need to do the walk on line.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
JobsInKent.com.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, February the 2nd, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely delightful Lisa Settle. Lisa, I'll tell you what I'd like to do now. We've got an update on the Atlantic Challenge, I believe. Do you want to fill us in on some of those details?
It's not just an update. They've actually...
It's a book.
There's quite a lot of information.
Yeah.
But the fantastic news is they've done it. Kent duo Dan Parsons and Ollie Clark set the new pairs class record this weekend in the Talisco Whiskey Atlantic Challenge by completing 3,000-mile crossing from the Canary Islands to Antigua in 42 days, 17 hours and 59 minutes.
Wow.
In their ocean rowing boat. Now, I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. They've actually smashed the previous record, which was 53 days.
Wow.
So, you know, they've done it in 42 days. How
fit is the word you're looking for there, isn't it? Really?
Absolutely. The toughest, known as the toughest rowing race on earth, well, I can understand that.
Mm.
The team was sponsored by Rift Accountants.
Yep.
And they've raised over £80,000
for
the chosen charity.
That's amazing.
Which were Prostate Cancer UK and ABF, the Soldiers Charity. There's a few quotes here. Basically, Dan Parsons was saying it's the first time that he'd taken on a challenge of this scale, probably the last time as well. We've experienced storms, a near miss with a cargo ship, a night capsize, oh, how frightening, horrific hallucinations from sleep deprivation, regular power failures that meant no water, and the most horrendous bottom sores. But
splinters.
Yeah,
that'll be.
But we've also raised a huge amount of money for charity, so it's definitely worth it. And Jan Post at Rift said, if anyone epitomises the determination and teamwork it takes to succeed against the odds, it's the men and women of the armed forces. When we heard of the local boys, Dan and Ollie, would be taking part in the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, we jumped at the opportunity to roll our sleeves up and get involved. Well, well done them. They've been following their progress with great excitement and delighted at the fantastic result. It's absolutely amazing. Ollie just says at the bottom here of the very long email, and I'm sure maybe we could post this.
Yeah, we'll post it as a blog. We will post it as a blog. So
it really is full of information that you need to know, but I'm sure you don't want to hear my voice going on and on and on. But I just want to say, Ollie says here that during our darkest times, we maintained morale by reading messages from our family and friends. We could not have completed this challenge without the constant support we've received from our sponsors and friends before the challenge started and while we're in the middle of the Atlantic. We are forever in your debt. Well, you're amazing, guys.
Absolutely fabulous job. Dan, in fact, appeared on the show last year to tell us about when they first set up to try and do that. Mm. And it sounded like an almost impossible task then. They have done it, but it sounds like they went through some trials and tribulations to make that happen. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Lisa. What we'll do is we'll put the whole story up as a blog on the Kent Business Radio website, and then you can read the whole thing in depth with all the information in it.
You can actually read more about their experience at their website, and you can also still donate if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's at www.atlantic-row.com.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Lisa. That's brilliant. I've got one more tweet, and then we're going to talk to somebody sensible for a change on the show, and we're going to talk to our first guest. But we've had a tweet from Freakworks Co. In Canterbury, and they say, Villanueva, could we have a shout-out for our co-working space in Canterbury, please? We're expanding soon. They're quadrupling the space over there. So that'll be great. So do give them a follow on the Twitter, Fruitworks CO, all one word. And if you are in the East Kent area and you'd like to work in a collaborative community workspace, they're going to have tons more room fairly shortly. So do speak to them. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the first time the absolutely lovely Vicky and Kevin Beatty of Vicky Beatty Associates. Hi, guys. Welcome onto the show.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us. I want to start off by finding a bit about you. Tell us a little bit about you two and about Vicky Beatty Associates, first of all.
Yeah, sure. Vicky Beatty Associates started off as me, Vicky Beatty, offering...
That was lucky, wasn't it? How you found a company with the same name? That's brilliant.
It was great, wasn't it? It took us a while to come up with that.
Yeah.
But, worked in construction, landfill, quarrying industry for 15-odd years.
Hold on a minute. You worked in quarrying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. No, my first job was walking around landfill sites, up to my knees in...
Stuff.
And taking samples of water, landfill gas, the leachate, which is the water in the waste.
Yeah.
Taking samples of those so that they could be analysed and we could find out how we're doing. That's where I started.
Blimey.
My housemates didn't find me very, they found me very fruity, I guess.
They just wouldn't let you in.
So, I started right down the grassroots, if you like, doing the...
Literally,
the donkey work and but important stuff, because if you don't take the samples right, the data that comes out at the end isn't any good. And from that started to do a bit more data reporting, moved into managing teams of people that did that, and moved into as well as the environment field, as that was mainly concentrating on, moved into health and safety as well, because around that time health, safety and environment began to be managed together a lot more within many organizations, particularly within quarrying at the time.
Well, I guess with your kind of background in that as well, you could see some of the stuff that's hanging around in some of these places as well, where you go, well, that's interesting.
I tell you what, there was one of the landfills that we owned, it was in Canterbury, and a lady had lost a wedding ring, and she thought that was it.
You know,
and obviously we all know how important these things are to us. But they could narrow down to exactly when it was picked up, which vehicle it was picked up in, and they traced it to where it would have been deposited in the landfill.
Wow.
And the guys dug out the relevant part of the landfill, and they found this room. Can you believe in thousands of tons of waste? It was quite incredible. There was a bit
that
of
made
science.
The news, didn't
yeah. yeah, well, we all certainly knew about it, and you know, it was cheers all round when we heard that it had been found. But yeah, there is a bit of a science to it. You might think they just sort of stick a load of waste in the ground, but there is a bit of science to it and a bit of organisation to where they put the waste. And yeah, they were able to narrow it down.
That's
so there
amazing.
You go.
Yeah. So tell us about the VBA for...
VBA.
Yeah, VBA.
Yeah, Vicky Beachy Associates is a mouthful. We tend to...
Yeah, my teeth aren't working today, as you noticed. Yeah.
No, something in your tea.
Yeah, so tell us about what you do now.
Yeah, what I do now, I try and help businesses out, basically, with a bit of health and safety in particular gets a bit of a bad press.
Everybody blames health and safety, don't they?
Yeah. They blame, and... I try to give the pragmatic approach, if you like. You know, we know what we've got to do and what the legislation says. The legislation generally is there for a reason. Generally, where there's a risk, there's a reg. And we try and put a pragmatic, practical approach to actually complying with those regs. We don't want it to be over the top. It doesn't need to be.
I've just got to say, I'm just going to say this. I think it's fairly true that there's a lot of organisations that will quote health and safety as a reason for not doing something, which just isn't true.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've heard of egg and spoon races being cancelled at schools, plays being cancelled. Yeah. There's so often, yes, absolutely,
just
health
excuses.
And safety is being used as the excuse. There's actually a whole team actually within the HSE now, a whole section where they're called the Mythbusters.
I was going to say, they must be Mythbusters.
They are Mythbusters. And if you go on the HSE website, you will see plenty of them. Cool. But their job is completely to dispel these myths, because health and safety legislation may feel a bind to many people, but it really, the whole
it's
aim
there for
of
a purpose.
It is exactly there for a purpose. It's to keep people safe in the workplace and outside of the workplace. And so what we try and do is dispel the myths, try and put practical solutions in place that people can work with, and not too document heavy, and try and take the pragmatic approach, really. And I try and do that both on the health and safety front, and then if you look at environmental legislation, my goodness, that's worse than health and safety to get to the bottom of, if you like. So we try and help again understand that and put sensible systems in place. We often work around management systems. I don't know, many people may have heard of ISO standards. 9001 is quality-based standard, 14001 in the environment, and then there's 18001, soon to be 45001 later this year. But we work around those management system standards, helping them to put these systems in place to help them manage the environment, health and safety and quality better.
Just finishing off on kind of what you're doing now, because there's a lot of other things we're going to talk about. Are there particular types of industry that you tend to deal with more, or is it across the board?
I suppose with my history, having been in construction, relatively high risk sort of construction, landfill, quarrying, I can concentrate in those areas where some can't if they're not used to work in that high risk environment. But pretty much anything. I've done some work.
Do you do some work for a telecoms company?
Yes, there's a really good telecoms company on the Rochester Medway City estate.
But you work for Telcare as well, don't you? Sorry. Just before we get out, I need to tell you a story about finding things in pits. Many, many years ago, I worked for a very large US bank based in the UK, and we bought the Billingsgate Fish Market site to build a brand new office block on it. And when we dug the site up, the first thing we came across was a plague pit.
Right.
That was really good fun. That was. I was the project manager there for the infill project. Yeah, that was a laugh. I have to tell you. Oh, plague! Lovely.
Yeah, wonderful.
Run.
Goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, you were just about to mention you provide health and safety services for the lovely folks at Telcare.
Yes, we certainly do.
And that kind of inspired Lisa to start badgering you about things as well.
Well.
Kind of.
Something about badgering. Vicky does help us with our health and safety. I love her approach, because as you said before, it's quite scary. You really want to make sure you get it right. You want to make sure your staff are doing things right. You want to make sure everything's right for your customers. So it's quite a responsibility, and Vicky comes along and puts it, you know, all into simple terms. And so there's no stress or worry anymore, as far as I'm concerned. I know that I can leave things to Vicky, but equally I'm quite happy in organising things myself now because I'm not scared anymore.
Sure.
So thank you to Vicky for that.
Oh, you're most welcome.
So when Vicky was at our offices recently, she was telling me about how they provide first aid for schools free of charge by actually other employers or local businesses putting in some extra money.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, that's, you know, that's a great idea.
Yep.
That's something that we really like doing at Telcare. We really like to give back to the community.
Sure, absolutely.
We really like getting involved, and we often get involved with schools and students, etc.
Mm.
So I said, oh, well, I'll donate some money. You know, if you can give a local school, and we've got quite
She's
a few.
Rich, Lisa.
I'm not.
She's rich.
Well, this is the beauty of it, is that you don't have to be
no,
rich.
No, I know.
You
I
can,
know.
You know, volunteering and having a part of the community
Absolutely.
Is
yeah.
all to do with just maybe giving your time,
yeah.
sharing your knowledge, or, yes, maybe sponsoring. But, again, it doesn't have to be huge amounts.
No, absolutely.
And this is what Vicky and I were discussing, because for relatively little amount, you can actually sponsor a Year 6 class to have free first aid training.
Wow.
And that helps them. Well, I won't tell you all about it because obviously that's what these guys are here for. But, you know, that's something the schools will love to have, and it's really a pleasure to do. So that grew, that idea grew. So I'm going to pass that back to Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the idea did grow. Very passionate about teaching young people first aid skills, that if they learn it when they're young, hopefully at least some of it will be retained going forward. They always go home and start telling their friends and family, grandparents, carers, all about it. And so you sort of almost fertilize the learning grows, and so you reach all sorts of parts of the community. Also, very quietly sitting here is my husband Kevin here, who came and board into Vicky Beattie Associates, and with his experience in teaching, so within education, with previous history of working in cardiac rehabilitation, he has come on board as the main first aid trainer.
Right, okay.
And so it's a way for him to get involved in the business, and something that we're both passionate about is teaching young people. So we thought, we're having become a small business ourselves now, and we understand now the importance of working with local businesses. And so we thought, well, how can we bring the two together? So we thought, if we could look to local businesses, perhaps wanting to improve some PR, work within the communities, they could, for a relatively small amount of money at the moment, you know, it's less than £2 per head per child, if you like, we can go into a class and give them an hour's worth of first aid training. So it's relatively accessible for the local businesses to be able to sponsor, create that relationship with the school, and Kevin can go in and deliver some first aid training that really is vital for the future. And
absolutely.
Kevin, do you want to tell me?
We'll talk to Kevin about that. I just want to make a point there, because there's a secondary issue here. That first aid training is actually incredibly valuable in another way as well. Apart from the obvious way, there's another value to that, which is when you enter the workforce. Mm. If you have first aid training, that is a very valuable thing to have on your CV, because most small businesses are required to have someone that's had some first aid training.
Sure.
So if you've already got it, it's, you know, you're home and dry, and it's another string to your bow. So from the student's point of view, it's a valid double string, because one, they learn how to do something very important, and two, it's useful in front of the job. But let's talk to Kevin now. Kevin's the man that delivers these programs. So tell us about the kind of things that you're covering, and the kind. I also want to know the inside track on the kind of response you get from the kids and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, for start with the response, it's been astronomical. It's sort of, their enthusiasm is so infectious.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Sorry to interrupt, but I love this. Do you have one of those dummies that you can practice resuscitation on?
Yes.
So they practice their kissing too?
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I just want to clear that up. Yeah.
Yeah, for these year
you
six
could do
students.
That without your teeth, Paul.
Yeah, well, exactly. I was, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, with the these year six students, what I'm also doing, I'm not just doing an adult dummy, because physiologically they're quite small. So trying to push down on an adult mannequin is quite tough for them. Yeah. So they're still getting the experience of doing correct CPR. I've got a junior, so sort of a child around about 6 or 7 years old, and I've also got babies. So they're getting used. Okay. They've got used to doing the CPR on all three types of mannequins.
Okay, that kind of skill. Mm. CPR, recovery position, yeah. Those kind of things are so basic, aren't they? And are so useful in all kinds of settings. You know, you never know when you're going to come across something like that. Mm. And a quick response makes all the difference. Yeah. If someone has that kind of training at the site of an accident or an injury or an illness, it makes such a lot of difference to be able to do that quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's, part of what when I wrote this scheme of work, part of my idea was to give them confidence in phoning 999, so that they actually know what the what to expect, because a lot of them are frightened to phone in case they get into trouble.
Yeah.
So there's an element of that. There's also an element of the recovery position. Now, that if you get that right and you get that in time, that could be all the first aid you need until the ambulance arrive. Mm. And so to make sure that's worked, I've actually practiced. So you can sort of see I'm not a small chap, and my little 6-year-old boy can now confidently put me into a recovery position correctly.
Okay.
So it's little elements like that it can go right the way down to young children. The CPR element, yes, it's a big part of first aid, but it's physiologically, some people are not going to be able to do it. Yeah, there's some adults that can't do it.
No, absolutely.
So it's not. Yeah. So that's the thing. And so not only do I do that, but I also look at what we call basic first aid, such as bandaging. So they know how to sort of stop a bleed, not just putting a plaster on, but put a bandage on as well. So
You're also saying, Kevin, about them learning to call 999 and not being scared to do that. I had an incident a while ago where I had one of Ollie's friends in the car with me. Mm. I was taking him to Ebbsfleet, and we witnessed something. And I said to him, Alex, quick, you must dial 999. He said, oh. Are you sure? I've never done that before. And, you know, and he's a 17-year-old and had not ever experienced ringing 999.
Yeah.
And was a little bit hesitant. Yeah. So, you know, at 17, if you're hesitant, then, you know, surely at 10, you're going to be dead scared, aren't
you?
So
absolutely.
So being told that actually it's okay.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to do.
And this is what will happen. Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's really useful.
Absolutely. But I'm also interested in what you were saying, Kevin, about teaching basic. I'm a former Boy Scout, okay? And I'm a big fan of scouting and guiding and all the rest of it. And we don't have enough kids that do it anymore. And just for what it's worth, I once did a survey of people in leadership positions, and almost invariably, certainly well over 90% of people in leadership positions actually have been in the Scouts or Guides or one of those kind of Boys Brigade or the Army Cadets, one of those kind of organisations. And one of the first badges I ever took in the Scouts many years ago, before all this stuff that you use even existed, was first aid. And it was fascinating then. I'm sure it's even more fascinating now because there are other technologies that you can use and improved equipment. But it's such an important thing, isn't it, to be able to put a bandage on someone probably or a tourniquet to stop bleeding or something. So I'm kind of interested in the range of things that you're teaching the students. So we're doing CPR and recovery, basic reporting of problems to 999, and bandages and stuff like that. What else do you cover in the courses?
Well, the program that I write is they really understand the primary survey,
right.
So the doctor's ABC, so they know exactly what they're looking for.
That's airways,
airway, the breathing, and
I almost remembered that.
Yeah, you see,
what's C?
Airways, breathing. Oh, sorry, I'm just choking. I'm choking. It's great when this program comes together.
Hands on.
Isn't it?
And obviously the emergency contact number, but then you've also got the 112.
Yeah.
Which is on the and a lot of them, they carry that, but they're not aware of that phone number at all.
Yeah.
So there was those elements. Recovery position for both adults and a baby, because they're slightly different. And then we'll go on to hygiene. So hand washing for germs, how do germs transfer from, and how to protect themselves. Because if they are walking around the street and there is someone that has cut themselves badly, I'd love them to get involved, but I don't want them to catch germs. So they need to know how germs transfer. So there's a big educational element to it as well, and that's what I've brought in from my teaching.
That's cool. Just while you were talking about mobile phones, I saw this yesterday, actually, which is fascinating. There used to be a thing called ICE in case of emergency on mobile phones. I don't know if you know, it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, does it not?
No, because they introduced smartphones with lookable screens and you can't get to the ICE information.
Oh, yeah, of course.
On an iPhone now, it comes with an app which is called Health. It's got a picture of a heart, and that's a built-in app on the iPhone. There's actually a section of that which is called Medical ID. And if you fill it in, you can put your basic details, you can put your name, whether you have any medical conditions, and a point of contact if you're in an emergency, and you can access that with the screen still being locked. So that's worth knowing about worth knowing about. And telling more people about it so they actually fill it in.
Yes.
Now, I'm fascinated by this and what you're doing, and first aid, it's just one of those things, isn't it? I tell you, I think I told this story last week as well in another context, but I'll tell it again. Many years ago, when my eldest son was quite young, he was 5 or 6 years old, and he's 30-odd now, so it was a long time ago. We were flying to New York, and in front of us was a young lady, and this was unusual back then, who was covered in tattoos. Now you see that quite a lot, but then she was, and she was clearly from the Bronx, from the way she spoke, and she had 5 kids, and I don't reckon she was any older than 21, and they were all her kids, okay? And they were the most unruly bunch ever. They were jumping on the seats, they were throwing food around, and everybody on the plane was getting really annoyed with her. She just ignored them. She just sat there reading a book, and they were all over the shop, running around anyway. Anyway, we were coming into land at JFK, and the cabin staff brought round boiled sweets for people to suck. And they gave one to my youngest son. We all strapped in and came in for the descent. And all of a sudden, Jamie started choking on the sweet. Mm. And the cabin crew went, "Oh, my God, he's choking. And this girl jumped up, grabbed hold of him, Heimlich manoeuvre, sweet popped out. She put him down. She said, "Suck harder," and sat down. And everyone, blimey. And I said, "Thank you so much for that." She said, "You've seen my kids. I do this 4 times a day." Absolutely.
You never know when it'll come in.
But if she hadn't have been there, that, you know, we could have been in a completely different scenario. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so not really important. The Heimlich manoeuvre anymore, is it? Do you just refer to them as abdominal thrusts?
You remember the training. I remember the training.
What's it called?
Yeah, we've now got to call it abdominal thrust because Dr. Heimlich was being sued. He now no longer wants his name associated with it.
So
in America, people were suing him because of any getting injured.
Oh, right, okay.
Typical,
isn't it?
Technique is still exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't mention him. Yeah. Abdominal thrust.
Yeah. Thrust.
I quite like that. That sounds.
Just don't even attempt it without the teeth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sorry, I spat over everyone there. Abdominal thrust. I like it. So, at the moment, I understand you've set up a CIC, Community Interest Company, to manage this, so it's separate from your mainstream business.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to paraphrase this, and you're going to tell me when I've got it wrong. So, you're going around offering this to schools, to their year 6 students, did you say?
Yeah, year 6. Initially, it's year 6, but it's going to be, it can be any school, so from 6 up to 16.
Right,
so,
okay.
Not a problem.
Okay, so you're offering this free of charge to the schools, and it's how long's the program?
I have written a 5-week program, so it to fit into a term.
Right.
But if they don't want the 5 weeks, if they say just want to fit it into 2 or 3, then I can do that. So it's adaptable.
Okay, and so that, but the full course is one morning a week for 5 weeks, is that how it works?
Yeah,
or you can do it any way you like.
I can fit it into the school school timetable,
right.
Fit it into their lessons, because some schools will have 45-minute lessons, others will have an hour.
Yeah.
So, but on a whole, it will be one period, one lesson, for up to 5 weeks.
Fantastic.
Now, am I right in thinking that it's not just for schools? It's you could be scouts and clubs.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. So from 6 years old up to 16 years old, for any organisation that they're in. So scouts, yep, clubs, youth clubs,
right,
football teams, even if they wanted it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I played football for a long time and people get hurt on a football pitch and, you go, run it off. I did that to my youngest son. He got hurt playing football. I go, run it off. He broke his ankle. You know, get up, you lazy. Go on. he recovered.
Yeah.
So you're offering it to schools and clubs and associations, which is brilliant. Now then, let's talk a bit about the funding, because at the moment you and a few people like Lisa have been providing the funding through sponsorship, and that's what we want some more of, presumably.
Yes,
we want
yes.
some more businesses come along and help you out with this. Is that it?
Absolutely, yeah. Many people may have seen in the news late last year that actually a number of organisations went to Parliament to try and get first aid to be part of the curriculum.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Somebody spoke for far too long, so a vote couldn't happen. So we're still very keen, and all those organisations are still very keen, obviously, to get first aid taught in schools and other youth organisations. So to get behind that, we actually thought, well, even if that had gone through, how could schools fund first aid? How are they going to train their trainers? They're going to take teachers away from their normal training duties. Where's the money, time, effort going to come from? So perhaps we can offer a solution in trying to save schools that time, effort and money. Yes, bring us in as the experts to teach the subject, but at the same time perhaps bringing the community together by looking for local businesses for as little as £60, for example, to teach a group of 60 children for an hour. You know, they can be meeting their CSR and their local publicity wants, if you like, and at the same time they can be really helping the community, supporting their local schools. So we thought it was a great way that schools don't have to find money that's already short within education. That's actually bringing the community together to provide this sort of vital, we've called it lifelong life-saving skills.
Absolutely.
You know, we thought it was a good combination of the two elements.
Fantastic.
One of our customers who's a local school, have jumped at the chance. So we're hoping to put them together with you.
Yes, absolutely.
They've got a year six group that are quite happy to undergo some first aid training and get down and dirty with the old... Oh, no, I can't say
Yeah, with the old, with the old thrusting.
Well, we started with Wingham Primary School, and their year sixes are just about to finish. They've got two more sessions before the end of term to really just test out what Kevin has put together. And the feedback, Kevin, has been superb, hasn't it? Really enthusiastic. And
it's been great. Even some of the parents, it's been... Because I don't know, unfortunately, I don't know all the children's names, but then we walked into Marks and Spencer's after the first session, and one of the moms sort of said, "You taught first aid," and felt really weird in that way. Go, "Oh yeah, you teach it to my little boy," and it's gone crazy. So yes, they are selling it to their parents.
Yeah.
They loving it, and every day in the last few weeks, the parents say, "Oh yeah, they've been throwing me around in the recovery position. They've been wrapping bandages around me." So they've loved it.
I'm just going to say this: don't have to get involved in this at all. It staggers me that we still can't work out in this country that children respond to things that have a practical use, and we still insist on teaching them stuff that has no practical use whatsoever until you work in some obscure business later on in your life. But the sooner as you introduce something practical to kids, or something that they can recognise as being useful, they're into it and they're motivated and they'll do it. That's fantastic. Look, guys, thank you so much for coming along and telling us about this. It's absolutely fabulous. What I'm going to ask you for now is a whole heap of different things. First of all, how do we find out about Vicky BT Associates and your proper business? So if people want to find out more about that, have you got a website that they can go to?
Sure, absolutely. www.vbassociates.co.uk.
And you have a Twitter handle?
I do. It is Safewell Green.
It is.
Safewell Green. I wasn't sure if it had
Safe
an
well
and in
there. Yeah, no, Safewell Green. Green.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both of those, the website and the Twitter handle, are on the Kent Business Radio website and will stay there. So if you want to find out, you can go there. Do you have a separate website yet or any separate thing for your CIC or the first aid, or they all go to the same place?
It's Future First Aiders actually could be found on the vbassociates.co.uk, but we have a separate page for it.
Okay, so if you go to your website and look for Future First Aid. That's all about that on the Vicky BT website.
Absolutely. So
fabulous. Obviously, because I know Vicky, she's our health and safety provider, so if anyone that knows me wants to find out a little bit more about it and they know how to contact me, I'll happily put them in touch.
Absolutely. And what we'll do is your main website is already on the Kent Business Radio website. What I will do is I will find the page to your first aid pages and I will link the page. We have a community page on the radio website. I'll link that as well. So we'll do that. So you'll be able to find it somewhere or another.
Yeah. Could I just make a little request? We've in trialling this scheme with Wingham Primary School, we needed a logo. We wanted something that, you know, people can visualise us by. And some of the children have come up with some amazing pictures, examples of logos and that sort of thing. And we've put them on our website, on our Future First Aiders page. And we're just asking people, have a look. Comments, tweet us,
feedback.
Let us know which ones you like, because we would like a winner and the winner will receive a prize. And we will incorporate that
free,
into it.
Free plaster.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, please take a look and let us know which ones you like. That would be great.
Kevin, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monk Show. Thank you so much for having this wonderful idea to help kids with something so important as first aid. It's absolutely brilliant. Thank you for joining us on the show. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Vicky and Kevin Beattie of Vicky Beattie Association, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant. We've had a tweet from Fruit Bowl Media that says, Vanilla Web, could we have a shout-out, please? We design websites, plus we have some cool web design resources. So do follow them on the Twitter, Fruit Bowl Media.
Can I read something?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
I have an email from Abigail's Footsteps.
Right.
If you don't know of Abigail's Footsteps, they're a charity who deal with the heartbreaking situation of stillborn babies.
Yeah.
Now, they've been very successful. The charity's been going for, I would say, probably about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And their latest luncheon, they're holding latest event is a ladies' luncheon. And it's going to be in a fabulous place. It's going to be on the 24th of February, and it's going to be held at the Tower of London.
Wow.
So very, very exciting. Sian Lloyd, the weather lady, is hosting it, along with Lady Esther of Hever. It's a two-course lunch with speakers and also a chance to tour the Tower of London. So I really do urge you to have a look at that. It will be a fabulous event. I really wanted to go, but it clashes with something else. Tickets are available at www.abigailscharityevents.co.uk. And you can also reach them on the Twitter at Abigail's Charity or Facebook at facebook.com/Abigail's Footsteps.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lisa. We've had a tweet from Jonathan Smith, who's a new listener, who says, Paul, can we have a shout-out for Altio Consulting? I'll spell you that in a minute. We offer accounting, finance and advisory for startups and growing tech businesses. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Altio Consulting, which is A-L-T-E-O, and the word consulting, all one word, Altio Consulting. So big shout-out for you guys. We're going to have a little mid-show break now, and Glenn Gregory and Heaven 17 are the chosen record, and I chose that because Glenn was in the studio at the weekend on part of our David Bowie salute. So have a listen to this, and we'll be back shortly.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
I've never been closer. I tried to understand that certain feeling carved by another's hand, oh, but it's too late.